T101 Geek Radio.
It's 20 minutes past the hour here at T101, and it's time for our tech news. We take you on location at CES, where our own Craig Stepp is on the show floor.
Thanks, Chuck. There's a lot of interesting products at CES this year. For those of you who don't know, CES is the Consumer Electronics Show held each year in Las Vegas for companies that want to showcase new products for the upcoming year. Well, this year, I've been told that this is the candidate for Best of Show. So with me, I have Hans Knapp from Germany. He is
hello.
Yes, hello. He is with Femtoco, a company that specializes in small electronics. So Hans, can you give me a tour of your newly announced products from this week?
Yes, of course. Here they are.
I'm sorry, Hans. I don't see anything.
Right here in front of you. Take this, for example. This is the world's smallest, fully functional laptop. Right here in my hand.
I don't see anything in your hand. Can you elaborate some?
This laptop is fully functional, includes SD and CF cards, and high-definition video display and full QWERTY keyboard.
I'm sorry, I still don't see it.
Here, please, look into this microscope.
Okay. Oh, wow. It is a full laptop. That is amazing. But you need, like, an electron microscope to use it.
No. Please look at all the products we have. MP3 player, printer, and digital camera.
Wow, all in this tiny box. May I?
Why, yes, of course.
Okay.
Oh, my heavens, what have you done?
Oh, no, Hans. I'm so sorry.
Please don't move.
I am so sorry. I didn't mean to. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, you're the resource gone. Lost.
Okay, well, look, let's go back to the show, and I'll help Hans look for his products in the carpet of the booth.
What?
Back to you in the studio.
This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
There are those who believe that life here began... where?
Over there, in the media corner.
Ew.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This is the show for January 9th, 2008. According to the show notes, it's not, but we'll go with that.
Good thing you're not writing checks.
If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me is the man with all the cards in his up his sleeve. It's Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Who told you about the cards?
Never play poker with a Sicilian. No, how's that? Never mind. I never get into a land deal.
Never look a GIF Romulan in the mouth.
We're not going to go
something
there.
Something like that, too.
How have you been?
I've been good, man. How about you?
Wonderful.
Yeah, so far 2008's been good to me these last, 9 days?
Oh, man. It started out a little rough for me. We had a server go down with a dual raid crash.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
It made a mess of last week. But we'll see how it goes from here. The rest of the data recovery and whatnot is in the hands of our business office. Hopefully, I'll get a check when I need to get a check.
Well, good luck.
Coming up in this show, this episode, we've got a boy who uses a lightsaber to defend his mom.
Wow.
We've got a video that instructs you how to make your own Cat 6 cable and what happens when Flickr gets too many pictures. Coming up after this.
And don't forget my top 10 predictions.
On this day in tech history for January 9th, 2008. This is January 9th, is the 9th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just 357 days remaining in 2008. It was on this date in 1349 that the Jewish population in Basel, Switzerland, believed by the residents to be the cause of the ongoing bubonic plague, is rounded up and incinerated. Also on this date in 1793, Jean-Pierre Blanchard becomes the first person to fly a balloon in the United States, which makes this National Balloon Ascension Day. Admiral Horatio Lord Nelson receives a state funeral and is interred at St. Paul's Cathedral on January 9, 1806. And 10 years later, Sir Humphrey Davy tests the Davy lamp for miners at Hebburn Colliery. The French Academy of Sciences announces the daguerreotype photography process on January 9, 1839. And on this date in 1863, the first section of the London Underground Railway opens between Paddington and Farringdon Street. New England Telephone and Telegraph installs the first battery-operated telephone switchboard in Lexington, Massachusetts on January 9, 1894. Also on this date in 1923, Juan de la Cierva makes his first autogyro flight. It's also the date of the first flight of the Avro Lancaster on this date in 1941. And it was 22 years ago, after losing a patent battle with Polaroid, Kodak exits the instant camera business. January 9, 2001 also marks the date that the Shenzhou 2, an unmanned Chinese spacecraft, is launched. Happy birthday goes out on this date in 1829 to Adolf von Schlagenfeit, German explorer. Russian mathematician Vladimir Steklov was born on this date in 1864. S.P.L. Sorensen, the Danish chemist, was born today in 1868. January 9, 1916 is the birthday of Peter Twin, the English World War II codebreaker. And Michael Everson, the expert in writing systems in Unicode, turns 45. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for January 9, 2008.
Captain, I'm picking up a signal on subspace, audio only. It sounds like an advertisement for the early 21st century.
Sulu, where's Uhura?
On vacation.
Who the hell authorized that? Ah, you look terrible in a skirt.
Thank you, sir.
On speakers.
Here at Theology Web, sure, we talk about how Macs rule, Linux owns, and PCs, like air conditioning units, don't work when you open Windows. But don't you ever think there might be something more?
So the important thing to understand about Molinism is maintaining the difference between temporal priority and logical priority.
And you thought you were a real geek. TheologyWeb.com.
TheologyWeb.com.
We debate theology seriously.
101.
101.
Welcome back to Technorama. You're with Chuck and Craig.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, before we get started, I want to tell you about a random thought I had this afternoon. I was watching Star Trek, the original series, The Day of the Dove. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
I'm not sure.
The one with the alien entity that feeds off of aggression and anger and pits the forces of the Klingons and the crew of the Enterprise against each other. And gives them weapons of knives and swords and things. Nothing real fancy.
Right.
And you know, they finally defeat this alien entity by laughing at it. The thing I noticed, and I think Apple was inspired by this episode when they came up with their spinning lollipop. Because every time I see that thing, I get angry at my computer and go, come on!
You stupid beach ball.
I think it'd be a fun hack to, you know, the longer it spins, the redder it gets. It's like, it's feeding off my aggression.
Well, I was going to say, you just laugh at your computer and maybe you can make it go away. Well, work.
I laugh at your little processor. You need more RAM. We could go with that.
Yeah.
All right. We are part of a contest. We are done with a contest of our own for now, but we are participating in the Great Tech Talk for Families treasure hunt. If you're listening to this via Tech Talk for Families, welcome to Technorama.
Yeah.
Here is your secret keyword. If you want more information, you can go to techtalkforfamilies.com/contest. The secret keyword is don't. It sounds like a good word on Technorama, right?
Don't? Man,
yeah.
I've been told that all my life. That's the word we got to use.
You put this sentence together, and I don't even know what the sentence is because all we get is one word.
Why couldn't we get like a positive word? Don't. Okay, I'll go with that.
Crash? I don't know.
No, how about like affirmative or okay?
You know, there we go.
Don't.
The prize package is a Leapster, two games, and free Imagination Nation Ranger kit from the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd.
Hey, that's pretty good.
And Dale tells me that the drawing will be on their anniversary, February 5th, 2008. So don't wait. Go over to the website, techtalkforfamilies.com/contest. Register as soon as you can, as soon as you hear this, as soon as you get to your computer, and take care of business, will you?
Yeah. And if you don't know the word, back up like, what, 15 seconds and no, a minute or so and listen again.
Whatever.
Okay.
Want to give a shout out to the chat room. We got a lot of people in there and they're being their ridiculous selves again. They've all adopted what, tech handles, technology names,
something.
We've got Ack Packet, Amoeba Node, Archangel SMTP, Boomer, Country Science, Captain Ethernet, Debdrop, Dr. Mao, D with PPOE. Oh my gosh.
Classic.
NCAF 127.0.0.1, Enigma MAC address, Fuffy Frog, Lord Cat, Mad Marv, Mr. Sim, Mr. Gadgets, Nightstar, OC192, OSX Leopard, Packet Loss, Podcast Mike, Soul Blaze, Spellwright, Tim Router, and T-Pose. No Zaha Doom.
Nope. Oh, well.
Must be on vacation.
He's the only one that gets a mention in the chat room when he's not there also.
That's because the others changed their name. I don't even know who's missing at this point.
I know. Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Hey, I do want to say that our birthday calendar has grown and it is continuing to grow. We got a lot of new people posting their birthdays or maybe updating their birthdays. Would they do that?
We got a peek behind the scenes. OC192 is Zaha Doom.
Okay.
Yeah, the wet paint wiki is working out really well. Seen some good turnout from that. On this week's episode, happy birthday goes out to Lingo from the Britain Yankee on the 9th. Well, that would be today.
Hey, have a beer on me, man.
Happy birthday, Lingo. Britain Yankee, pubcast at thebritainyankee.com. Also, Glenn Tolar, I believe he's still in Texas, if I'm not mistaken, on the 14th. That happens to be my brother's birthday, too. I think I mentioned that last year, didn't
I? Well, let's use that as a reminder to do something for your brother.
And Craig's birthday's coming up later this month. Yes. Send me birthday greetings.
Happy birthday, Chuck.
Let your imagination go nuts. You send it to chuck@chuckchat.com. Don't use the Technorama address. He'll get that.
Yeah.
Send those to me, or I'll set up a temporary private K7.net number.
Oh, no. Hey, you know, that first year, I made you a birthday thing compilation. That turned out pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And Leo and all kinds of people in it. I don't remember everybody now. That's pretty good.
Well, most of the listeners.
Yeah, it was all listeners and stuff. Yeah.
And several podcasters, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was fun. Yeah, that was fun. All right. I still owe you a payback for that. I mean, retort. If you want to get on the birthday calendar, you can go to the listener birthday calendar in the wiki, or just go to technorama.wetpaint.com and you'll see everything there. Have a lot of fun with that. If you want to listen to the audio stream, we're around on Sunday nights. We start around 9:30 Eastern time with the recording when certain technological, astrological signs line up and everything works all right. Craig's having a bit of a problem with his audio this time.
You know what? I look at it as a Penn and Teller type thing. You know, if you look at the webcams, you're talking, I'm just kind of hanging out. That's it.
Penn and Teller. Now I'm going to shoot the bullet right out of Teller's mouth.
Yeah.
No, Craig's going to catch a bullet between his teeth. He's going to catch a packet between his teeth. It was Technorama.
Oh!
Yeah. All right.
Good news, everyone!
Good news from... Come on, web browser, catch up with me. USA Today. Apparently, passenger jets get anti-missile devices installed on them soon.
Sweet!
Wow. Tens of thousands of airline passengers will soon be flying on jets outfitted with anti-missile systems as part of a new government test aimed at thwarting terrorists armed with shoulder-fired projectiles. Would that be while they're on board?
No, see, I read it wrong. I thought you said that passengers get anti-missile devices.
No, the planes would get... Three American Airlines Boeing 767-200s that fly daily round-trip routes between New York and California will receive the anti-missile laser jammers that this spring, according to the Department of Homeland Security, which is spending $29 million on the tests. Jets will fly with the jammer device mounted on the belly of the plane between the wheels. Well, the wheels are tucked inside. The device works with sensors also mounted on the plane that detect a heat-seeking missile and shoot a laser at it to send the missile veering harmlessly off course towards heavily trafficked areas.
See, I think it would be much more fun if the passengers got this, though.
What would they do? Aim it out the window?
Yeah, but, you know, it's like a video game, you know?
You won't see it if it's coming from the bottom, though.
Well, we can mount something down there.
What if they do air-to-air missiles?
I don't, yeah, that would be cool, too. What if we saw another plane, we could shoot a missile or... Nah.
That's from listener Andy, and he writes in, my first thought was how effective this would be with fighter jets being scrambled to intercept planes. Would they still be able to take a plane out if necessary? And if in that case, then what's the point of the technology in the first place on the plane? You're flying over a restricted area. That's a good point. You know, if they had another 9/11 situation and somebody's... You know,
I'm sure that their missiles will be able to get through. Yeah, I'm not...
They're good for U.S. to U.S. missiles? We're allowed to shoot our own planes down?
I don't know, man. This, I don't know.
All right, let's move along. This
all I
want to
know is what kind of drinks are served on my flight.
An 11-year-old boy demonstrated the force when he defended his mom by hitting an attacker with a toy lightsaber.
The
You're
force?
You're a bad man! The man in his mid-30s fled after being confronted by the youngster outside a bakery in Swordston near Norwich, England. Did I say that right? Sword? No, close enough.
Hey, police apparently, he was suffering from flashbacks from a bad experience trying to get Darth Vader's signature when he was a child.
Can I have your autograph?
Yeah. So when this kid started hitting him with a lightsaber, he had to run.
Police said the boy hit the man with his toy after the man had punched and verbally abused his mother and she approached her car. Officers are appealing for witnesses to the December 22 attack. Alan Jennings of the Norfolk Police said,
The incident caused quite a commotion, and it's unlikely it would have gone unnoticed.
Yeah, if you see a little kid whacking on a guy with a lightsaber.
Oh, it's nothing. It normally happens here.
Come back here, you big kid!
Beating on the guy with a... Sorry, I don't know too many bad words in the UK, so...
I don't know. I won't share them here.
We'll lose our clean rating. Would you have like a clean US and a clean UK rating?
No, let's skip over that. Okay, all right. Get that.
Speaking of skip, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the Hacks and Strange Stories.
Okay.
The FAA has now changed the rules once again. A limit of 2 batteries for electronic devices on carry-on items. But the one in the bag has to be in the little magic plastic baggie. The same kind of plastic baggie you gotta put your shampoo and toothpaste. Does this sound all right to you? Excuse me, but isn't the battery more dangerous when it's installed in the device than when it's out? Where do they come up with this stuff? What good is the little baggie going to do anyway? It seems to me like the polymer on the baggie is more likely to catch fire and burn in a chemical fire. Am I making any sense here? Yeah, I've never seen a picture of one of those batteries on fire outside a laptop. Have you? What, are you supposed to put your whole flipping laptop in a plastic Ziploc baggie? Exactly. Gonna look awful funny. It's a ploy from the Ziploc people.
Wait till they outlaw luggage.
That'll solve the whole problem. Getting harder to travel. I hate it more every day.
We just stop.
I'm stopped. Done.
This is David Levy, amateur astronomer, lover of the night sky, and comet discoverer. You are listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Hacks and Strange Stories! I think Lenny's been going to the opera or something.
What did you finish off the eggnog?
Oh, we've got one unique audio clip at the top of the Hacks and Strange Stories. NCAF1 has sent us in his news from the future.
Yes.
Have you heard this?
Maybe. Maybe not.
I haven't. This ought to be good.
Yeah.
It's time for a very special episode of News from the Future. The year 2008 will forever be regarded as the year of the Great Robot Uprising. In that year, advances in cybernetics, bionic implants, artificial intelligence, podcasting, certain new varieties of rutabaga, and the great writer's strike of American-based TV all combined to produce the largest, most unstoppable force known to man and alien kind, boredom. Not content to merely report on the quirky, geek-based news, two giants of industriousness and technologicality joined forces to produce Technoramatron 1, the base from which all other robots were formed. These two compadres, known only by the pseudonyms Stepik and Shtetabasi, perhaps assisted by the infamous Dr. Steele, introduced the world to a new form of geek chaos. Unfortunately, it was not to last. After gaining consciousness, Technoramatron 1 decided that Earth was not worth conquering and launched itself into obscurity. It was 200 years later and after painstaking research and self-recrimination that the events came to light. Nonetheless, the 20 seconds from the first moment Technoramatron 1 was turned on and then decided to leave were the most frightening that mankind would know for 42 months. This has been News from the Future. We now return you to your historical audio experience known as Technorama.
Ooh, gonna have to get that fixed. That's good. We hear that Technoramathon 1 is somewhere on the outer reaches of the solar system, still broadcasting years after it was supposed to be decommissioned for service and the reactor has gone cold. All right, last week we heard that Flickr, the good news is, Flickr has reached photo number 2,147,483,647 on January 2nd. The bad news is that 147,483,647 is the limit for a signed integer data type. Third-party tools that, quote, work with Flickr are now failing.
No. Oh,
I love that.
No word on what happens when they hit pie. Or while they're eating pie. You know, it's like, remember everybody was worried about Y2K?
Yeah.
And then they go, oh, by the way, you know, Unix has this problem with the year 2037.
It does if you're not using Time T, because the POSIX standard calls for Time T is now a 64-bit sign number.
Okay.
So
I just remember everybody saying 2007.
However, there are a number of nefarious programmers who will cast it to an int for whatever reason. I don't know. But you know what? I'm going to be 72 and probably legally insane at that point on a beach and sipping margaritas, not caring, and going,
and who could possibly be running this program in 2037? 2038.
I'm purposely writing programs that do that.
Yeah. You'll be still using Fortran in 2037.
I'm going to be laughing at my punch cards. Other news in the Hacks and Strange Stories, CD liner notes from the distant present, CD liner notes of the distant present. All right, these are things you might see on the inside of your CD package, assuming they're still using CDs. Citizen, right. We thank you for your purchase of the following CD. Green Day, the United States of Terrorica. In this modern digital age, CD ownership carries responsibilities unseen in the better days of music recording via wax cylinder or trained parrot. To keep you out of prison, a fate worse than being independent and unsigned, we have created a guide that is both helpful and mandatory to read. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but it goes on. Pretty funny.
Yeah.
Computers, if you put a compact disc in your computer, it will break your computer. You should not have a computer.
You're right. Hey, you know, speaking of that kind of thing, you know, DRM's making its way out the door, you know, because
what
Sony BMG just announced that they were going to start putting all their music catalog out there music free, along with the other labels that are doing it now. So what's this going to do for all the lawsuits that have been cropping up? Well, you know, I haven't really heard about them as much lately as I did in the years past.
Going to have to keep an eye on that one.
Yeah.
That was from Yorga. Next one's from Ron. He writes us in with a video to a wooden binary adding machine.
Wow. I haven't seen this.
This is cool. It's a bunch of slots on top with little rockers that kind of stair-step their way down.
That is cool.
You drop in, you say like, you know, 6 is 4 plus 2, and you hit the lever and it rattles down. And then you add in, say, you know, 7 more, a 4, a 2, and a 1, and it cascades, and you wind up with 13. 6 plus 7 is 13. And if you can't read it in the diagonal, you pull the lever and it comes down on the bottom. And it's got 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32 on the bottom. And it's, I don't know who thought this up, but it's really ingenious.
Yeah, and it's like simple, but yeah, it's pretty good. I like this.
I wonder if he sells kits to do that. I'd love to have one.
We need to get this guy on the show.
You think?
Why not?
All right. Maybe you can give us a free one.
Wheels are in motion now.
And finally, last week, Kevin Devon had an interesting message on his screen. We just love these messages from Windows programs.
And this was classic, by the way.
This is classic. He got a message on his screen that says, "The selected screen resolution is not optimal for this display device. Consider using 0x0 to ensure the best viewing experience. Resolution settings other than 0x0 could result in a fuzzy display." Okay. Honest to goodness, I don't make this one up.
It's not fuzzy because you can't see it. That's awesome.
Who comes up with
and this? You know what, the video memory that it uses is also low. That's pretty cool.
Don't confuse your stuff. All right, another quick break and we will be back with the media corner. Right,
cool. That's right.
That's what says on the schedule. I'm going by that.
Yeah, me too.
Do you drool over the latest cutting-edge technology? Are you the first in line for the latest sci-fi movie? Do you stay up late at night playing video games? Do you consider being called a geek a badge of honor? Then you should listen to Geek Cred. Steve Rickyberg gives you the inside scoop on everything geek, from tech to sci-fi to games, you name it, we geek it. Geek Cred. Are you geek enough? To download and subscribe, visit www.geekcred.net and get your geek on.
I'm Dr. Robert Ballard, and I'm an explorer in residence for the National Geographic Society and deeply enjoy this program.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
In the media corner this week, we got a couple of links. One sent in by Ron again. Ron and Yorga sure sent in a lot of stuff, along with some
I know, people. I love you guys.
Yeah, they're great. They're great.
Yeah.
Yeah, news team.
Yeah.
First one is a video where they took the audio, if you're old enough to remember Abbott and Costello, or if you've heard their Who's On First thing.
Oh, no.
This is Yoda and Jar Jar. Right? Now, they have the audio for Abbott and Costello, but Yoda and Jar Jar are having this dialogue. So Yoda's going, "Who's on first? That's what I'm asking." And you see Jar Jar getting all flustered. You're going, "How'd we get to third base?" And his arms are up and he's flailing around. It's really funny to watch. It's great. Thanks,
it's
Ron.
Kind of funny.
Second one from Yorga. It said, it's a video from Tiger Direct on a very instructional how to make your own Cat 6 cable. Actually, it worked for Cat 5, but you know, they say oftentimes you get a 2-meter cable, and it's just not long enough, or sometimes it's too long. And this tells you, you know, you can buy a box of cable, which I've done in the past, and crimp your own ends onto it. How to get the right order and get them nice and flat and crimp them professionally done.
Now, I make my own Cat 5 cables all the time.
Yeah. The thing that makes me laugh about this video is there's this helper that actually does the work. His name's Randy, and he's just off screen, but he's not just off to the right or left. He's just off to the top. He reminds me of Ed from Police Squad because you can't see this guy's hand.
Ed.
I was ready for the presenter, the host of this little video to go, Randy, you got something there on your lip. Like a coconut falls off or something.
You know what? Forget this guy. You know, one time I made a 76-foot parallel cable.
That's a little outside the spec there, buddy.
I did it because we didn't have any parallel extenders for some reason, and we had to have a printer on the other side of the wall in a permanent office, and it worked.
Wow.
Yep.
Why didn't you get one of those little Ethernet printer boxes?
This is before then, dude.
Those have been around since early 90s.
Well, no, I don't think so.
We used to buy them from Axis all the time.
Huh?
We used to buy them from Axis all the time.
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about, but you're talking about mid-90s. I'm talking about pre that.
All right, enough of this debate.
Hey, you know what? I'm throwing down the gauntlet. But no, I did make a cable that was sending. And you know what? It probably was a short-sighted thing for my boss. Oh, let's just get a long cable, you know.
I don't know. All right, that's it for the media corner. We have, what do we have for you? Is it a rant?
I got a small rant.
All right, then you get the bumper.
You know, I recently got my Nokia N810, which I love. You know, I used to have the N800. I loved it. Had two SD slots. Well, this one they've taken those away, and they have a micro SD slot, or I'm sorry, mini SD slot on the bottom of it. Okay, that's fine. I ordered a little 6 gig card to put in it, and it came as a micro, and it with an adapter. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I've got a small little tiny chip that is so stinking small, I'm scared to carry it anywhere in my hand, like across the room, because I'm going to lose it in the carpet, much like our intro that I was kidding about. I'm not kidding. It's like smaller than my thumbnail.
First there was SD, then there was mini SD, then there was micro SD, then nano, then pico, then femto.
You know, SD cards are pretty small to begin with. How small do you need to be, really, to save space? I mean, come on.
So if you're making a small device, you don't want your media, like the SD card, to be 3/4 of the size of your device. I mean, look at the reason why they don't put in big stuff in little stuff anymore.
Okay, well, get this. Okay, let me back up. I ordered that 6 gig card. It came with an SD adapter and the micro. Okay, I needed a mini SD adapter. So I went to Best Buy, probably my first mistake. But anyway, I bought a 2 gig card, but it was also a micro with a mini adapter and then an SD adapter. These things are like the little Russian Chinese dolls. You stack them and I can stick it in my camera.
Russian Chinese dolls?
You know the little Russian stackable, you know.
Yeah, where you put one inside the other, inside the other. I'm trying to remember. I can't remember. Anyway. I know what you're talking about.
Well, you know, that's what it was like. I was like, okay, you know, I can put an SD card in my camera. Well, look, I can stack these two and then stick that one in here. And then I've got, and then, of course, in my camera takes compact flash cards with, I've got an SD adapter to compact flash. So, yes, I had 3 adapters worth of cards in my camera. Just, I mean, come on, it's a little crazy. Can't we stick with a format and use it? Anyway, and I promised everybody for my top 10 predictions for 2008. And Chuck, if you'll roll that beautiful bean footage.
Craig Stepp's top 10 predictions for 2008.
Number one, we will go back to the moon and find graffiti all over the lunar lander. It's been tagged by gangs. Number two, podcasts will be found to cause cancer as cell phones do. Number three, global warming is actually saving the world. The love affair with Apple continues throughout the year. Number five, Linus Torvalds will be appointed the tech czar of the new president. Number 6. All social networks on the internet will form a gravitational pull so intense that it will become the first black hole on the internet, besides YouTube and eBay. I predict number 7, we still have no flying cars. Number 8, DRM will go the way of the dodo, and we will see that's evident that Britney Spears has no need for it on any new album. Oops. And number 9 is no prediction. And number 10, Technorama will continue its podcasting in excellence.
Wow, you're going out on a limb on some of those.
I don't know. I was kind of worried about the gang graffiti on the lunar lander, but
hey, we got to head into the geek library. I know we could use this geek library. Geek library. Michelle has sent us in a link to needlepoint patterns of your favorite video game characters. Now, at first I went, needlepoint? Well, you never know. You know, Kevin Devon's wife does that kind of thing.
Yes, she does.
They got everything from Frog Mario to Mario Through the Ages, which is kind of interesting. You know, they've got the
there's a bunch of stuff on here. This is cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of cool stuff. Princess Toadstool.
And you know what? This is perfect because of the type of graphics that it made. I bet you could do some 8-bit stuff, too.
You do like the old 8-bit stuff? That was pretty cool. Thank you very much, Michelle.
Hey, by the way, the Duck Hunt one is kind of interesting down at the bottom. The dog actually got the duck this time. Cool.
All right. Last week, CNET posted a list of the 10 most evil computers, and boy, did they get ripped on that. This is just really strange. You know, I swear they rearranged the list since I last looked at it, because I thought Hal was at the top of the list, but I could be wrong. Real quick, their list, which is being hotly debated, is, and this is coming from Tech Republic, Boss from Doctor Who, The Green Death. Number 2, Skynet from The Terminator. Number 3, Queeg 500 from Red Dwarf. Number 4, MODOK from Marvel Comics. Number 5, GLaDOS from Portal. Number 6, Max from The 13th Floor. The Ultimate Computer from Superman 3 is number 7. Star Trek's Nomad is number 8. And Proteus 4 from Demon Seed is number 9. Rounding out the top 10 is, of course, HAL 9000 from 2001 A Space Odyssey. Now, this is just shenanigans. I'm calling on them. I'm with Tech Republic on this. It starts out, this list stinks. Quite frankly, first off, to not anoint Skynet the only evil computer to ever actually take over the world, the winner is an insult to time-traveling freedom fighters everywhere. Second, MODOK is a cyborg, not a computer, so he doesn't count. Third, of all the evil computers in Star Trek lore, you don't pick V'ger, you don't pick the M5, you don't pick Vol, you pick Nomad?
No, I thought Nomad was kind of tame compared to some of the other stuff. To be honest with you, I didn't even think about V'ger at first, but yeah, he's got a point.
Seriously, all Superman 3 never...
Hey, wait a minute, V'ger wasn't evil. Wait a minute, whoa.
Yeah?
V'ger wasn't evil.
Just, sorry, V'ger wasn't evil, just misunderstood.
Exactly, yeah. He was just looking for knowledge. I mean, come on.
Looking for home.
No, yeah. Knowledge and home, and the creator, and...
Here's my challenge, if you haven't called the listener line lately, or if you have, just call us and let us know your most evil computer idea. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Keep it simple.
And you know what? Your little Vista machine doesn't count.
Oh, dang, you beat me to it. Oh, I was right there. I can't believe you said that. That's really scary. That's really, really scary.
That's funny. Uh-oh. We've been podcasting together way too long.
We won't mention anything about the shared rooms at the podcast expo.
Yeah.
Finally, rounding out our geek library and bringing us to the end of the show is the email action flowchart, which any good David Allen student of getting things done will just get a good chuckle out of this one.
Read mail. Does the email require you to be does something done? Actually, you know what? In a lot of ways, this makes sense, except for the suicide.
You're giving it away.
I was just saying, hey, this makes a lot of sense. Wait a minute.
Is this a big problem or a little problem? If it's a little problem, pretend the junk mail filter ate your email.
Yeah. Hey, I do. Hey, I want to point out, you know, you mentioned David Allen. I just watched a video. Actually, Google has been putting out some really good videos, especially with their dev stuff. Mm-hmm. They have some people come in and speak at Google, and they publish these videos later. And they just published one with David Allen talking about GTD and all that kind of stuff. It was, you know, pretty good. It was a lot of the same thing that you've already heard. But, you know, it's kind of cool to see. You know what? You know what gets me?
What?
Lately, what's really been getting on me? Somebody sends me an email and expects immediate response.
Oh, heck no!
You know, I want to sit there.
No. Email doesn't get immediate response. In fact, purposely delay. Get them to talk to you face-to-face or pick up the phone if they want immediate response.
That's the point, man. I ignore it until they call.
Do you expect immediate response to a voicemail? Get real. I should go on a rant about that, but I won't.
I mean, seriously. Why would people... I've had people email me and or try to call me, and I'm like, I'll just let it go to the voicemail. I'll call them back in a second. And I get an email.
Well, the best ones are the ones that leave an email and then call you and then stop by to make sure you get your voicemail to tell
that
you
too.
You get an email.
It's crazy. Like, you know, if you send me an email, I will get back to you. I do subscribe to the Inbox Zero thing. And if it's sitting in my inbox, I'm going to call you back.
Wait a minute. There. Expecting immediate response to email qualifies as this week's clear abuse of technology.
Right.
That's our award.
You know what? I got an idea for a new segment. Clear abuse of technology. If you have a clear abuse of technology, send it in. We will promote it.
You mean like SMSing someone who's standing right next to you?
Bluetooth earpieces. Don't get me started.
Okay, we're at the end of the show anyway. We're out of time.
Okay.
That brings us to the end. Appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. Call the listener line. Tell us what you think. Comments are always appreciated. 206-222-CHAT. That's 206-222-2428. Or email us at technorama@chuckchat.com if you've come across something in your inbox and you go, wow, that's just weird, warped, or strange. But kind of geeky, send it to us. We'd love to hear from you.
If it's warped or strange and you think of us, then send it to us.
Well, that'll work, too. And then send it to 10 of your friends with a link to Technorama on the bottom. That'd be even more fun.
Sure.
There's also the website, www.chuckchat.com. There's the donation tip jar. We appreciate everybody who's been giving those monthly micropayments. Really helps out offset the cost of running the show. We do have hosting costs and things.
I admit, we're making money on the show?
Breaking even. So any help is appreciated. Oh. Who said anything about...
Somebody's breaking even.
Who said anything about making money? Most of this cost does come out of our own pocket, so we appreciate that. You can also do a one-time donation if you want to do that. You can also write us a review on iTunes. I haven't seen any new ones recently, but we'd love to see them. Podcast Pickle, Podcast Alley, or one of the major podcast directories that are out there. We are also looking to get listed on the Zune directory. So Technorama's out there. I've got the other podcast going up shortly whenever they get around to it. Thank you to the following people for donating all their time and talent during the week to making Technorama happening. Of course, Ron and Yorga and Michelle and all the other people who donated all those great links during the week. Madmar for putting the great blog content together. Got to check out the RSS feed and subscribe to the entire content. Scott Reynolds for and Ustream for the live streams that happen on Sunday nights. We hope you can join us if you happen to be around 9:30 Eastern time. Chat room and
mostly
chatroom irc.freenode.net. pound Technorama is the channel name. Hope to see you there. Have a lot of fun with all the people who rename their handles and we can't figure out who's who. Have a lot of fun making smart aleck comments. Yeah. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. Find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with Farpoint Media at farpointmedia.net. Till next time, tell a friend about Technorama and a binary high five.
101.
That was so terrible, I think you gave me cancer!